different gifts.
Some it takes months, and it's a matter of how deep do people get in the Word and how much do you seek.
Here, you said it, seek.
Not only that, how much do you give?
Seeking.
Not only that, how much do you give? Because the more you give, the more you receive.
Yes.
And that's not financial,
yep.
And it's not worldly,
no.
It's the knowledge.
Right, it's knowledge, it's spirit, it's love. I just sent a picture to my grandson. We took a walk and we were working a line in a park and there was a bunch of boulders and there was a lizard. So I took a faraway picture and my grandson's like 12 and I'm trying to fill him with the Word of God. His parents are not believers. And I said, can you see this? What's in this picture? And he looked at the big picture and he goes, I said, where's God's critter creation? He loves animals. I can't see it, he says. And I said, look closer. I can't see it, Papa. I said, give you a hint. I said, second rock. So there was three rocks. So he looked closer. He goes, I still can't see it, Papa. I said, blow up the second rock. And I said, around 2 o'clock. He goes, I saw it, a lizard. And I said, Wesley, this teaches you. I said, God says, seek me,
right.
And you will find me. I said, if you decide to seek God, like the world seeks riches, like men that are hungry seek food, and like this seeks that. I said, you seek God. I said, like you, if you would have not asked for any more hints and just saw it, and go over it. I said, you'd have found him without me.
Yeah.
And he said, I see, Papa.
Yeah.
So that's why new believers don't have it, is right. Because, and again, I'm going to go back to American churchianity. Let me go back to the gospel, what I wanted to start with. The gospel I preach, as I believe, is the biblical gospel. You must place your faith in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, fully man, fully God. His shed blood,
yes.
His resurrection,
yes.
He's the only way.
Yes.
Now, he's our foundation, cornerstone,
that's right.
Ephesians 2.
That's right.
But that's not it. That's not it. This is where churchianity stops, and they say, put your faith in Jesus and believe in him. He did it all. Well, he did his all. Now, we are in not a relationship with Jesus. No, no, no. You can't prove that in Scripture. We are in a covenant.
That's right.
Matthew 26, Jesus said, this is the covenant. He said testament, same word, of my blood and my body.
That's right.
So we enter into a blood covenant
That's
with
right.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so he has done his part. Came, did three main things. Showed us who God was and how to follow after him. That's one. Shed his blood for the remission of sins. That's two. Defeated death, Satan and evil. That's three. That's the three things he did for us. He did his part. And Philippians says, he who started a good work in you will complete it. Yes, he will.
Well, you said Cain?
No. Yeah, I'm sorry, did I misspeak?
Yeah, you said
not Cain.
Cain.
No.
What did you mean?
I don't know where you got Cain from.
You said Cain.
No, I didn't mean to say Cain.
That's okay.
I don't know what you got. He came. He came and shed his blood and defeated death and rose again for us. And so we start with faith in Jesus Christ. But even the demons believe and tremble, that mean nothing. I just taught, you probably heard much of it, repentance. Metanoia, we take that faith and we change our mind and we go, if I have faith in this risen Christ, he's the only way. I got to change my mind to now follow after him because he's going that way in his truth and righteousness and eternal life. My life's going in the gutter, hell, death, and destruction. Amos 3 says two going in the opposite directions. They have to agree to
well, what is
go together.
Changing of the mind? The renewing of the mind through the word.
Well, no, that's the next step. So hold on. So hear me out in the gospel and then you can challenge it. So faith in his finished work, repentance. We change our mind and decide to follow after him. Our mind changes and slowly our actions change. If we agree something sinful, we change our mind, we stop it. We decide to strive to stop it.
Through him.
Right? When this happens, and I'm not saying this happens exactly how I'm saying it every time, I'm saying this is the pattern. When our faith becomes repentance and I change our mind and we want to follow Christ, God sees a willing vessel, he enters into the blood covenant with us. Now he gives us the new heart and the new mind that Jeremiah 31 said would come. I'll change your stony heart into a fleshly heart. I'll put my word in your heart. And you get 2 Corinthians 5:17. New mind, new heart, all things become new. Thank God our past was wiped away. We were the worst of the worst. And I always tell people this. This isn't boasting, but I always tell people this. Other than drugs and homosexuality, I did everything you could imagine.
Okay.
I never did drugs,
okay.
And I never did homosexuality. But everything else,
right.
I did it.
Okay.
And God, and my wife would tell you the same thing, and God washed that clean. We're born again. Faith, repentance, we're born again. Now, the fruit that we're born again, in America, I battle this all the time. Well, I believe on Jesus, and I go to church, and I stop drinking and doing drugs, and I'm good to go. The fruit that you're born again, I just talked about in repentance, is God says, now, because my spirit's in you and beckoning you, you will obey the word. You'll learn it, he'll convict you, he'll teach it to you, John 16, and he'll comfort you when you obey it. You'll get comfort. Right. If you don't obey it, you go back to the conviction. He's going to haunt you, and then he's going to teach you. Then when you could repent, so now holiness and obedience to the word of God come out of the world. Politics, music, entertainment, churchianity, government, politics. I follow the government, but I don't vote political. That's all corrupt. All of the systems that Satan has set up is opposed to what God says. Paul says, what soldier entangles himself in the world when his general, I'm paraphrasing, says, go, right. March for me. Now, I got these affairs, general. You're not my soldier now. Faith, repentance, being born again from above, holiness and obedience, I put those together, they're the same thing. And the last part of the gospel is you must endure in that at any time.
Oh, there's all trials and tribulations. If you're not going through trials and tribulations,
yep.
You ain't a believer,
amen,
brother.
So any time you can turn away from the faith. So that's the gospel that I preach, and that stands in the face of American churchianity that tells people easy believism, you're still going to sin a lot, you're saved, guaranteed. I raised my hand at a youth club and I'm going to heaven no matter what, even though I live like the devil and I still keep willful sin. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. And I make this statement, and I've been waiting for years to any man to refuse me. I got a Bible. Any man can refute this. The only sins that you are forgiven would be your past sins that you can't repent of. They're gone. You can't change all that. Christ cleanses you. That's the new creature. But from this point forward, the only sins that will be forgiven are sins that you turn and you forsake. You lay at the cross and you follow Christ obediently. If you live in willful sin, there's no more sacrifice. You cannot get God's grace. You're not eligible for God's grace. And I'm going to give you a good analogy. You're not eligible for God's grace unless you have turned from your sin.
A sinner can have a season of walking in sin. The Spirit is going to convict them of it. He is going to be chastened of it.
And if he dies in his sin?
If he dies in his sin, he's saved, brother.
No, sir. He's Hebrews 10:26. Can I read it to you?
You can, but
I read it to you? I'm a student of the word. I'm not going to go by my word, your word.
Well, let's read Romans where it says that he paid for all sin.
He did pay for all sin.
All sin.
All sin. But the rest of God's word tells us we must repent and turn from it.
Course,
so all sin he
course,
pays for. But
course.
You just said if you die in willful sin. So I'm going to ask you a question. When men tell me that, sin is sin. One lie, murder, sin is sin. God killed a couple for one lie. So let me ask you a question. So a man is a practicing homosexual. You and I witness to him. He says, he cries out to God, I know I'm a sinner. I want to follow Jesus. He forsakes his homosexuality.
Yes.
He's walking with the Lord.
Yes.
He turns back to his homosexuality and he's willfully keeping homosexual ways, claiming Jesus Christ.
And he gets hit by a car.
And he dies in his sin. You're telling me you think he's entering into the kingdom of God?
I believe he is, yes.
That is not what Scripture says, Jason.
Because his blood covered it.
No.
Yes.
Jesus' blood covers nothing that has been not repented of. This is the covenant. Did he not always require Israel? Did he not always require Israel to forsake their sin?
Of course.
And what happened to a city that wouldn't forsake their sin?
They'd be destroyed.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
What about a city that did repent and forsook their sin? Nineveh.
Right.
If Nineveh stayed in their sin, would God destroy them?
That's why Christ had to come, brother. Now follow me for a second.
He's the pattern.
Follow me for
He's
a second.
He's the pattern, but God won't be mocked and you can't trample the blood of Christ. He will never save you in sin.
And
you must come out.
I am not saying or condoning willfully sinning knowing that you are forgiven by the blood. That's not what I'm saying.
That's trampling.
What I'm saying is you, what was your name, brother?
Jim.
Mm-hmm. Your brother. You still sin, don't you?
I choose at times to allow my flesh to cause me to sin.
Okay.
Now, let me finish. Okay. You asked me a question. When that happens, I'm shameful.
Sure. Sure.
I have remorse.
Sure.
And practically while it's happening, I'm already in my spirit hearing, you need to turn and you need to repent and you need to stop this. And I'll tell you what my biggest sin is, anger.
Okay.
And I can be on the street and I see a man try to accost my wife, and I used to be a fighter, and the anger in me riles up and I want to get in his face and go, sir, I'm preaching, not my wife. I didn't address any of your women. Get out of my wife's face.
Right.
And I want to lay him out. And I can almost hear the spirit already going, you're supposed to love your enemies.
Oh, yeah.
Look at your sin.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is I repent. I put it down.
Of course.
I ask the Lord to forgive me.
Yes.
He washes me clean.
Yes.
I go on.
Yes.
If I would start beating on that man, lay him out, and gloat over it, that's not covered sin till I repent of it. That's not covered sin till I repent of it. Have you ever, are you married?
No.
Have you ever been married?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You had a wife.
Yes.
Did you want her to be faithful to you?
Of course.
What if she came home and said, Jason, I have three boyfriends that I sleep with periodically. And you said, oh, how can you do this?
Yes.
And she said, well, you know what? You're my husband. I should probably be faithful to you. I feel guilty about this. Well, good.
Will you forgive me?
What are you going to do? Yeah. She says, will you forgive me? And you go, I'm a Christian. 7 times 70. I got to forgive. Honey, what will you do? Will you forsake the three men for our marriage? And she goes, well, I want you to forgive me, but I think I'm still going to keep going seeing them. This is making a mockery of your marriage,
right.
A mockery of love.
Right.
An open, willful sinner is making a mockery of the blood of
That's
Christ,
right.
Jason.
And what does it say in the Word? It says that when you do it knowingly, you re-crucify him.
And you can't.
I know.
So how can you say you can live in sin?
We are saying the same thing.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are, brother.
You said you can live in willful sin and still go to heaven.
What I'm saying is, if a person is in willful sin and dies and has not confessed and repent of it, they are still saved and will go to heaven.
That is not what the scripture says. Let me read to you Hebrews 10.
Okay.
10:26.
Okay.
Death knell to that theology.
But here's what you got to do. You have to read the tenses of the verse in the Greek, because the tenses.
Go do that all you want.
In that verse.
Go do. Hey, I tell you what. When you leave here, go to your computer and look it up. I've got articles.
Have.
Okay. I've got articles on this on all of my website. For if we, in context, he's talking to the brethren, sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sin. He finishes it. Not, well, you're still going to heaven, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Let me keep going. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Paul's comparing the Old Testament to the New. How much more sorer a punishment shall he, thought worthy of trodden under foot the Son of God, and accountant the blood of the covenant, herewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite the Spirit of grace. That's not salvation, Jason. That's destruction. Let me read another one to you.
Okay.
That's destruction. You must come out of your sin or you do not get the grace of God. You said it. Noah had to get in the ark, build it and get in it. If he said, God, I believe in you. I want salvation. Don't feel like making an ark. Didn't finish it. And I ain't getting in there. I'm claustrophobic. God would have said, you don't have faith anymore because you're not obeying me. Wash you away with everyone else.
Read chapter 7 of Romans then.
I will read that next.
Read chapter 7 of Romans.
I know where you're going with that, but I'll read that next. Romans 2. Oh, I'm glad we met, because you need this. You need this.
I'm not saying as a Christian to live in sin, brother.
But
you understand
I can see that you do, because let me just lovingly tell you, you smoke.
I do.
That's destroying your holy temple.
That's right.
That's a sin.
That's right.
You need, God can set you free of that.
He's been telling me for a year to stop.
He can set you free from that right now. Throw it away. Give me your cigarettes. Throw it away and start to strive against it.
I know.
Because if you live in that willful, you're not going to make it, Jason. You're not going to make it. You have to strip your life down. Your wife couldn't be your wife if she kept those boyfriends. You can't be of God if you keep sin. Willful keeping it. Now, throw them away. Oh, I fell and I bought a cigarette, Brother Jim. And what'd you do? I smoked two of them. Brother, you know what to do. I throw them away again, and I'm going to do it again. Striving, trying, striving, right. trying. But if we just roll over, that's your wife in bed with her three boyfriends.
Right.
I hate to be graphic, right. no, but no, that's no. her in bed. That's spiritual harlotry.
Right. right. I get it, brother. I get what you're telling me.
That's spiritual harlotry. Romans 2. I just read it. Just read it in their teaching.
Verse what?
I'm looking for it because I think I read almost all of it.
10.
Starting with 3. Thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do such things, and you do the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment? He's talking about hypocrites. Hypocrites. Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God lead to repentance. So I just taught this. If we believe God is good, and I know you do, his goodness leads us to repentance.
Right.
Repentance is changing our mind.
Right.
When your wife changed her mind about her boyfriends, she'd leave them. If she didn't leave them, she didn't change her mind.
Right.
So don't think you've changed your mind about sin you haven't left, because you haven't.
Right.
Okay? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Here it comes. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, faith and works. So if you live in sin, that's the deeds that are going to count against your record.
Right.
You don't have the perfect righteousness you need. You need Christ's.
Yes.
You don't get it if you walk in sin.
He paid for all of it.
No, he didn't. Not that, the ones you don't that, forsake.
That judgment he's talking about is what judgment?
Nope. Hold on.
What judgment?
Then he goes on. To them who by patient countenance in well-doing seek glory, honor, and eternal life.
Of course. What judgment is that?
That, hold on. That is, he's
going
to answer it. It's not works. It's not burning up your works, because he answers it.
And then there's a difference between the final judgment.
He's not talking about burning up works. Ready for this?
Yeah.
But unto them that are contentious, that's not good.
Right.
And do not obey the truth.
Right.
But obey unrighteousness.
Right.
Indignation and wrath.
Right.
The wrath of God doesn't fall on his people.
No.
So these are people that live in sin.
Right.
And God's wrath is going to fall on them, like in the end times.
Right.
And so if you live in any sin, Ananias and Sapphira were killed over one lie. Why? They didn't go to heaven.
They lied because they stole from the church.
They didn't go to heaven.
Right.
That was one sin, a lie. So if you or I walk in any sin that we are not putting under the blood and showing it by leaving it, we're trampling the blood of Christ. Now, you said Romans 7. Let me grab my water. Honey, would you hand me my water thing there?
Read the whole chapter 7.
Oh, well, see, here's the thing. When you say stuff like that, I love it. But you know what? Better than that, read the whole book. You know why? And we don't have time to sit and read the whole book. Because it's one letter.
Multiple
I know.
Times.
I know.
I know.
Start with Romans 6, where he says, now that grace has come, shall we keep on sinning?
No.
God forbid.
That's
now,
right.
In 7, I can read any verse you want. I'll give it to you. You can read it. Paul says, oh, what a wretched man
the
I am.
The issue was that he still had lust.
Who doesn't said, say he has lust. No. Flesh. He said...
But his flesh was lust.
No.
In the Greek.
Where does it say that? What verse says that? I don't believe
read
that.
Read it, brother. Read it.
What verse?
Read it. Read the chapter.
Hold on.
Read the chapter, brother.
I'm looking for the part where he says, I'm going right for what you're talking about. I don't believe that means... Well, if it says flesh, it can mean lust and hate and all.
In the Greek,
it can mean everything.
In the Greek, it is lust.
Our flesh can do all those things.
In the Greek, the flesh meaning is lust.
But see, what you have to understand something. You began this whole conversation talking about the mind and the flesh and the spirit.
Yes.
Paul is describing the fleshly man.
That's right.
I know I have a fleshly man.
Yes.
I just described it to you. I can get angry.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a fleshly man that's in me. Now, over the years walking with the Lord, I brought him from a 9. He's down to about a 2.
Awesome.
I'm starving him to death slowly, but he's still there.
Wait, hold on. You did or the grace of the Lord?
Me in cooperation
in
with
Christ.
The Lord.
In
our
Christ.
Covenant.
Okay.
I'm cooperating with the Lord.
In Christ.
I have to do it too.
In Christ.
Yep. I can't do it without his
we
power.
We can't do it.
I can't do
in
it.
Christ.
I can't do it without his power, but he doesn't force me to make any choices. So we have a covenant.
That's right.
It's like my wife and I have a covenant.
That's right.
So we're in a covenant. So yes, I'm doing it with the power of God. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. Paul is talking about he has this flesh, that the flesh rears up,
yes,
and we will always fight the flesh.
Yes.
Just because your flesh rears up doesn't mean you have to walk in sin.
That's right.
You don't have to do that.
I don't.
So that's no excuse, because Paul says that he fights his flesh. That's no excuse to say, well, we're just going to live in sin and it's forgiven. No, it's not. Because
no.
Paul says in Romans 6, shall we go on sinning? God forbid. In Romans 8, you know what he says? Romans 8:1. Everybody loves to quote this verse, Jason. Therefore, now there is no condemnation
in Christ Jesus.
How does it finish? Nobody finishes it.
Go ahead.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I cringe. This is where my anger comes out, my righteous anger. I cringe when I hear false teachers say that to young Christians or unbelievers, and they go, in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. The rest of the verse says, for those who walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh.
Yes. Yes.
And so what this means is, yes, we have an ugly flesh. We must walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh and fulfill it, you fulfill the deeds of it, your sins are not covered.
The only way we can walk in the Spirit is in Christ.
In Christ, following after Him and obeying.
We're saying the same thing, brother.
We're not saying the same thing.
We are.
If you believe you can live in your sin and you're a saved man, you're deceived. You must repent to come out of it.
That's right.
No more than your wife could tell you she loved you while keeping mistresses.
We all have to.
But your doctrine is wrong, saying a homosexual man can practice it.
I'm not saying that.
You just told me that. I have it on audio. You said he could keep practicing it, and if he dies, he's still going to heaven.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did, sir. You did. That's exactly what you said.
I said that.
You said if he dies in his sin, because his sins are covered by the blood of Christ, Christ covers them all. He covers all sin we repent of.
If he's still saved, is he? Once you're saved, you're always saved?
No. That's Calvinistic doctrine.
So your salvation could be taken away.
Absolutely. Can I share with you? Can I share proof of that?
Yeah.
Wow, please. This is awesome.
Please.
I tell you what, my website would be a blessing to you, because I take you right to the Word. I don't have anything to add but the Word of God. I got to grab my glasses because I'm blinder than a bat. Honey, I had them and I just set them down there. Thank you.
Your salvation could be taken away.
Absolutely. God.
How?
I'm sorry. I get boisterous. I get excited about things of God.
How is it taken
I'm a street
away?
Preacher, so I talk loud and yell.
How
I'm sorry.
Is it taken away if you believe?
Plus, I'm hard of hearing a little bit.
But
listen, I'm gonna share with you.
By grace through faith. No. You are saved by grace through faith.
You're saved.
Not of yourself.
You're saved by faith.
Not
through
of yourself,
grace.
Please, any man
not
please.
Of yourself. But now, that's one portion of Scripture. If you read the entirety of Scripture, you must repent. Repentance is changing your mind. You must walk in holiness. Hebrews 12 says, without holiness, no one will see God.
Right.
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
He says, you are my friend in John 15,
yes.
14, if
yes.
you keep my commandments.
Yes.
What if you don't keep his commandments? Are you his friend?
No.
Faith and works. So you're not saved. This is the big problem. I have articles on this. You're not saved by faith alone.
No.
Bible never says it.
No.
You're not saved by grace alone.
No.
Bible never says it. You're not saved by works alone.
No.
Bible never says that. It is a combination.
Yes.
That's the covenant.
Yes.
It's a combination of
yes.
things. Let me read to you.
Let me ask you this, brother, real quick, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Let's say you sin.